little bit about myself. No hot shot. Started out years and years ago playing rock and roll, secular bands. Mostly original music. Tried to make it my living, you know. And we talked a little bit about that in Chuck's class. I even was doing it while I was a born-again Christian, which was a tough struggle, you know. I think, obviously, I survived through it. But had a Christian rock band that got a record deal, Batco Records, and that's a whole nother thing. But just to touch on that, even though we were born-again Christians, man, there was conflict, you know. Pride, money, it was amazing what we ran into and how fast the Lord just broke it apart. So, obviously the purpose of this class is worship service, you know, drums and bass in a worship environment. There's a lot of things you need to put aside in worship, opposed to being out there in the clubs and the secular world. In the secular world, at least in my experience, it was trying to make yourself noticeable. Whether you're in a band, you want the band to be noticed, or you're an individual, you want to be noticed so you get work or whatever your goal is as your band. And that's even in the Christian music industry too. So you have to balance that. In worship, which we'll get into later, it's a situation where you got to humble yourself and really, you know, examine what you're there for and what your purpose is, okay? Which we'll get into that. So I came from a background of a rock drummer who, man, struggled playing worship because I like to play hard, kind of like what Chuck was talking about yesterday. Whoever went to Chuck's class, I mean, he played hard. And I'm sure we've all dealt with it. Drummers is volume issues, you know? You got a shield, or what kind of sticks you use. It seems like as a drummer, you're hit from all sides. You know, you're too loud, you're too busy, or whatever your situation is. So I've learned a lot. I've been playing Ocean Hills now for about 2.5 years. Marty and I have been playing here for about 2 years together. The lineups change a little here and there, but we've, you know. So we have the advantage of forming a relationship together to kind of know how each other plays, you know. Sometimes you may not have that advantage with your bass player or your drummer because they may not be the same week, the same players, you know. But my focus on this thing is to obviously talk about how to work together, and then later on I'm going to talk about a little bit of drum techniques in the middle of the thing. One thing I wanted to bring up real quick is, if this is some basic stuff to you guys about drums, I apologize, but I'm sure there's probably different levels of players here, okay? So if I say something that seems really, you know, wow, dude, that's like beginning drums, again, I apologize. But there's some basic things that I think are really important, whether it's worship or not, and like drum tuning. Some, you know, it was funny seeing Chuck do his class because he did it. The set he used was the CB700 kit, right? That was kind of falling apart and really worked, you know. And this one's a little better. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, depending on the church budget or if you're using your own equipment, you know, you may not have the top-of-the-line DW stuff or whatever, you know. But what you have, you've got to do the best you can with it. And tuning your drums is important, you know. And I'm going to show maybe later on down the line, if we get there, just some quick shortcuts on tuning. And again, there's probably all kinds of different techniques, but I think if you've got a good sounding kit appropriate for the room, I think some of your battles may be over. It's really important to have a good relationship with the sound guy if you have one at your church, because the drums, I mean, every instrument relies on it, but it was talked about yesterday too. I mean, are you too loud on stage, or is the house too loud? You know what I mean? So we at the church here use an Avion system, so we've cut down a lot of the stage volume, but the drums are still loud. You know, we have a shield in front, and but you want to be able to hear each other too, you know. So hearing the bass player, hearing what everybody's doing is a real important step. Obviously, you can't play together if you can't hear, you know. So I guess we'll talk about later on about if you're in a situation where you can't hear your bass player or whatever, then it's probably a good idea to be close to that person so you can visualize what that person's doing, or vice versa to the bass player. I mean, you can maybe see what the drummer's doing, maybe see his kick drum even, or be able to feel it somehow, because the kick drum and the bass guitar, you know, usually are the two that interlock the most. So that's kind of, you know, the gist of some of my background as far as being a hard rock drummer, playing worship, and all the struggles that I've experienced making the transition. I mean, I have a quick philosophy on drums, and I'll let Marty talk, but if on a scale of 1 to 10, if in your mind you think maybe you're an 8, you know, your friends may think you're a 6, you know, your mom may think you're a 10, you know, good mom, but you know, I always try to come in, I hope, in a humble situation and say, you know what, I may think I'm an 8, but I'm going to step it back. Less is more. You know, when I play, I'd rather have someone tell me, hey, you know, you could use more fill there if you want, you know, or, you know, you can put some more kick or whatever. But I like to approach it as a real basic thing first, you know. And one thing about worship teams, too, is when I played in, most of my bands were four-piece bands, bass player, guitar, drums, you know, and a singer. And in worship, depending on the size of your church, you've got percussion players, you got piano, you've got synth, or you got bass players, you got acoustic, you got multiple singers. There's a lot of instruments. And if you're too busy as a drummer, I mean, it's just fact, you know, you're going to step on things, step on other people. And then people compete. And then the next thing you know, you may think it's great in your little world. You know, boy, this beat I'm doing is just, oh, this is great. But as a whole worship sense, you're probably really not adding a whole lot to it. In fact, you're probably distracting from it. You know, I mean, one thing Chuck said yesterday too was, and me being a drummer, I can totally relate. If I'm listening to worship, I get distracted really easy if the drummer is either off time or too loud, or just because I hear the drums, I focus on them. I try not to, but it's just natural, you know. I'm sure Marty probably hears the bass. You know, I mean, I hear the whole rhythm section. I hear the whole thing, but... Yeah? Good. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. You got the A. All right. That's why you're legendary, by the way. That's right. Got to mention that. So, anyway... So the less is more theory, and we'll get more into it, but, you know, I mean, I know this is the bass and drum thing, but I really got to, you know, emphasize that percussion player, maybe you can't hear them, but you got to be able to at least see them and to kind of know what they're doing, you know, or at least kind of get a feel for it. And obviously the most ultimate thing is that everybody in the worship team is experienced enough and they all know each other and you get practice. We don't get a lot of practice here. We show up in the morning for sound check, and you get a list of songs, and half of them you've never heard before, or you've heard them, but with worship songs, they're done 10 different ways by this different artist and that different artist. So I'm playing the Matt Redman version of it, you know, and someone else is playing a different version of it, and we're not together. So you get it all, in our case, we have to get it all together in a half hour for sound check and get the whole thing, and then, you know, you're on. First service, go, you know. So obviously the less is more approach is totally, in my book, a necessary thing. So I'll get a little more into the philosophy and the techniques. I'll let Marty take over. And...
Check, 1, 2. My name is Marty Dietmeyer. I was,
I was in a band called Daniel Amos that started in 76. And up there and off the music scene. And we toured, the band's still together. They played here and there. But we toured probably 8 strong years, you know, my tour with the band and the bass player. And it was quite an experience. It was really spiritually rewarding and pretty challenging as well. Because it, being a musician, you're dealing with a lot of emotional things. You know, you have a passion for music, obviously. You want to play something. You might think that you're playing something. What you're playing is just amazing. And everyone's going, who stopped doing that? So if being a musician is you got to be pretty sensitive. In a secular world, you don't have to be sensitive to anybody else. They expect you to be prideful. They expect you to be hot, showy. They expect you to come out and put on a good show. In the Christian world, if you're doing worship, you're not out there to put on a good show. You're out there to bring the congregation into worshiping God. That's what you're there for. You're not there to show off your lips. You're not there to, you know, I was in a band once, and this is the funniest thing, I'll never forget it. We were playing at some party. I was in a Christian category. And this drummer, or it's just a drummer thing.
It's all right.
But the drummer, we're playing along, and all of a sudden, the drummer just stopped playing. And I look over, and we're playing the song. What's he doing? He's going, I'm doing it, I'm doing it. He's doing these triplet things with his left hand on the snare that even the Buddy Rich thing that he's even trying to do. He's like, I'm doing it, yeah, check it out. Play! He stopped right in the middle of the thing. He was so fascinated that he could do this drum thing. Yeah. Christian artist, musician, worship person, whatever, especially in worship, we're here to not be noticed. We're here to set a nice frame, if you will, for the color. The color is the singer, the line on the synthesizer, maybe a little bit of the guitar hooks. You know, and that's it. And we're the blue collar and you don't have a good drummer, forget it. You know, everybody else would be really good, but you're definitely going to notice. The drummer's the heartbeat. The bass player fills in and helps, you know, the drummer. When Holland asked me to play here, my first thing was, the drummer's good. Showed up, first song, I can groove with Rich. Rich is a good drummer. And he knows how to have it. We got a good feel, even just on a basic drum beat. Good feel. Good feel. Anyway, so I was in Daniel Amos for 8 years, toured all over the place, and led a lot of people to the Lord, and that's basically what my mission was to do. I put a band, and we've been playing worship band now for a long time. I just feel like, you know, God's given you a talent. You can either bury it, or prepare with the talents for anything. You can bury your talent, and at the end of the day, or at the end of the day, God asks, you know, what you know with your talent. Well, I know all my chords. You know, I think we need to, as musicians, we need to know how are we going to expound, develop our talent, develop the skill that God's given you. God's giving you a skill to play. You're responsible to take that gift and use it for God's glory. So either you're gonna stay as a 1-year musician and never really study your instrument, or you're gonna develop it. And developing it doesn't mean you know your tone, you know all the licks, you can play this cool that if you're on the radio, but it's how you fit in as a bass player drummer to make a song work. Listen to popular songs on the radio, the drummer is going boom, cat, boom, cat, boom, cat. He's not going boom, cat, boom, cat. There are songs that call for that. 90% of the songs don't call for that. So likewise for bass player. Boom, bum, bum, That's it. It's not a bunch of lists. I'm guilty. I'll go off on a list sometimes. I really do the list. But that's not what we're there for. And that's fun to do. Do it in a secular band. Do it in your Christian hard rock band or Christian jazz band or funk band or whatever. In worship, that's not what we're here to do. I kind of went off from an introduction and into a little bit of the philosophy of rhythm section. The philosophy of the rhythm section is basically we're framing, we're holding it together. The color, everything else is not us. So there are bass players and drummers that are amazing guys, and they can come in and they're going to play basic stuff, and every once in a while throw a nice cool little lift. Great. I'm not saying don't do that. But don't expect that you're going to be in the worship band to get on the worship leader's record, or because you're going to be on the internet, hopefully you'll get signed by, who's a Christian artist? Signed by Gang Lance. Anyway.
Play bass for him.
Yeah. anybody have any questions on it?
I've been playing bass for about 6 years, but it was all like the worship leaders that asked me to do this.
What's that?
I said.
It's all right. They're taping this, so they want to hear the question too.
The worship leader, he just came to me and said, "I think you should play the bass. I'm going to, give you a few how-tos and go ahead." And so it kind of was self-taught in some ways. And I did go one time to take a lesson. The guy was so far above me, I could music. And I went back and just learning on my own. And what you just said was, if you have something of talent, you should maybe make it better than staying in that first year or second year of what you know. And the people that I play with, I know all the songs, but we do very rudimentary type things. I noticed a few runs. Do you think someone like me should go out and find a really good teacher and try to learn as much as I can to to take my skill to another level? But it seems like if you're already doing what the worship leader wants you to do, you can do the songs, what more do you need to know?
There's a lot you need. The question was, if you're basically fitting in as a music as a player and everybody's happy, why learn more?
Right.
Because there's the whole thinking and mindset of how you put a song together. There's many, many different ways of creating an environment or a feel in a song. And it's not just playing a note, but it's how you play the note, where you don't play the note. Listening to the melody, counter feel, counter beat, and there's a lot of things. And you have to be able to sit. Can you sit down in your room and play your bass for 2 hours and enjoy it? Go off and feel good about it. Oh wow, that's really tough. Not so good. Well, then you need to learn more. Because I can sit down and play for 2 hours. I play a Bach thing on my bass. I can try different inversions and different scales. What major scale goes with the minor scale? If I'm playing the key of G, there's a lot of things that somebody should be able to pass on to you, next step. And you can still play the basics, but you're going to enhance the basics by knowing more.
Now, can you read music? Do you know how to
play? I can read music, yes. Okay. That's something that you should all, bass players for sure, should know how to follow a basic chord chart. How many follow chord charts? Okay, so you should all be able to follow a chord chart.
Right.
Drummer, what do you...
Yeah, I took lessons. I can read drum charts, actual drum charts. I don't do it all the time, so my sight reading isn't as fast as it used to be, but, I can actually look at it and go, okay, all right, double bass, bass here, eighth notes, 16th notes, whatever. I don't run into a lot of charts, but, but we do, this church is pretty big, so you can get, guest artists that come in. There's a couple times where people have come in and literally thrown a chart in front of you you know. And this is one of those things where it's the morning and you don't even know you didn't know you're going to play with this person. And it's like, wow, whoa. I mean, talk about pressure. So it is good to sharpen your skills. I like to kind of put it in a parallel, like if you're going to serve the Lord with your music, and that's a great thing, kind of treat your skills kind of as your spirituality. I mean, you want to grow spiritually every day. You don't want to be complete, complacent or whatever the word I'm looking for, you know, just to kind of sit in one spot only, you know, and say, well, I'm good with God, God's good with me, it's great. You always kind of want to be able to grow spiritually. And music, grow too. It doesn't necessarily mean, like, I'll tell you the truth, part of my introduction, part two, is I'm a rock drummer. I am not, and I'll be the first to admit it, I'm not the most versatile player. Jazz, pretty bad at it. I can fake a little bit of it, right? Funk, my foot's kind of slow right now, you know? I mean, I can fake it, but just because I'm not into it, I still try to challenge myself to at least dabble in it, you know? I mean, I know that I'm not going to be the funk drummer, and I know I'm not going to be a jazz drummer. I mean, honestly, I'd be the first guy to say, look, if you're looking for a guy that plays jazz, don't call me. I would ruin your deal, right? But it is good to know and be well-rounded in that. And playing worship has actually well-rounded me more than ever. I was a 4-4 rock drummer, and then it's like, okay, we're playing 6-8 now. You know what I mean? I got to learn a 6-8 feel, and then you got like a shuffle feel. I mean, don't do a lot of worship shuffle, but you get a Dennis Akajanian coming in, and you got this country. It's like, whoa, you know? It's, I can't do this, you know? So, I mean, you get challenged, and I go home and go, I need to practice. I've been doing this for 28 years, and I need to practice, okay? So, and you may not always be in your little situation. I mean, a worship leader can change. You could move. You could go somewhere else to where now maybe your skills need to be sharpened, okay? Which is kind of one thing I wanted to say. It's a tough thing in worship in church. If I can use this example, I was telling Marty, let's say I really want to serve, and on my heart, I feel like I want to cook for the pastoral team or for the team. You know what I mean? I really want to cook for the staff, you know, on Sundays or make, you know. And in my heart, I really want to do it, but all I can really make is macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. And I don't even do that well. There's a reality there where it's like, you know, we appreciate your heart, but you need to get to a certain level before you can take on that task, you know. Doesn't mean it's not appreciated, okay? It just means you gotta be at a certain level. This church is kind of big. Holland is the worship leader. There's a certain skill that, you know, is required here. And it's not in a show-off sense or I'm better than you, look at me. It's more because of the fact that we do get guest artists in who sometimes don't have a band and they want the band to back them up. And, you know, and I've been outclassed many times. You know, guys showed up and I'm not very good at this, and it's humbling, you know. So I hear a lot of drummers when I go to different churches, and some are really great. Some are too great. They show off. Some are lacking, you know. And in some cases, it may be because that's the only drummer available in the church. I mean, sometimes I talk to drummers and go, I don't even really play drums, but they need one, you know, right? So, I'm the best guy they got, you know, which is great. God bless you for going at it, you know. But and that's a great place actually to be, because the guy may say, or gal may say, you know, I'm trying, you know.
And also this might be, you know, God giving opportunity to put you into something that maybe...
Right. Right.
One thing I want to interject back to your question about why should we go to another level. That is right there at this, in this little world, and then, you know, where you're at, maybe that's, you know, why should I go to another level? But who knows down the road where God's going to put you? You know, so, you know, you need to be prepared, to be ready. God has you there for a reason, so be the best you can at where you're at. Study, you know, improve. Because later on, maybe someone will come and watch and remember you, and then you're not playing there anymore, and they say, hey, can you come play in my church? Maybe you need to be, you know, a couple not just up to the adults. So
right.
Yeah, I know Chuck said yesterday that when he was not a Christian and he started to listen to Christian music, it really wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people were mediocre and, you know, decided to get with it. And, you know, except today is
Oh, yeah. When I was out of college, I started playing bass when I was 15, and in high school, I was in a jazz band, a swing band, so we were in charge of playing big band music. I did that for 2 years, junior and a senior, and then in a freshman, in my 2 years of college, I was in the big band swing, so we were playing big, you know, reading and da-da-da-da, all this cool stuff. And then I wanted to go to Bass Institute of Technology, but, you know, God brought me into Maranatha and Calgary over there, and I joined Danny Rams for playing country songs. And why am I here? I wanted to quit a few times, but God said, no, I want you here. Okay. So, you never know where you're going
to
go.
You had a
question. Because you want a new car.
You had a question. Starts what?
In a B.
On a B?
Yeah. I mean, there's certain songs that end in an odd note. And so I get a little confused, and I'm just wondering, is there a technique or a way that you can determine quickly?
Right. The question is, what note do you end the song on when it's an odd note, right? Basically, that's part of your learning. Be able to know I'm in the key of G, I'm in the key of D, I'm in the key of A. If you're in the key of A, more than likely you're going to end on the A note.
Right.
So how do you know what key you're in, right? What?
No. Well, maybe I'm not explaining it. Actually, one time you played a song, I can't remember what it was, but it started on B, and it ended in B.
Okay.
Or was it B? But there's just certain songs.
So, sometimes song, that's the character of the song when they end it on a weird note. But
are they typically ending on the same note that you start on?
No. So you're in the, you start the intro, and you're going to be in the key of G. You're going to be starting on a D. D chord, go to C, and then hit a G on the intro. And
right.
Then start playing. But just because you start on the D chord doesn't mean you're in but I can talk to you more about it afterwards if you want.
Okay, so you follow, you understand what
I do understand what you're saying, but there's some technique there and principles of basic music that I can share with you afterwards about that.
Okay.
Hopefully you can help me understand a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah.
In our church, we're a fairly small church, and we don't always have a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not that big part of the time. And can you talk a little bit about the challenges
with
the best way to approach that?
Sure. Go ahead.
Just the best way to approach that of your friend. Lead it, be the song or whatever.
When Daniel and Amos first got together, we didn't have a drummer. There were just four of us, so there are three guitar players and bass. And when you're in that situation, the bass player is the timekeeper. The bass player has to know where one is. And in that situation, you're playing more like a kick drum would play. Like a kick drum is going to go boom, maybe on a song. Maybe chords are going like this on the acoustic guitar. So a bass player is going to have to go boom, 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 boom. You're keeping time. Maybe the song's faster. You're going ding, 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 ding. You don't have a lot of luxury to move around and do things. So, I mean, you can here and there. I mean, I'm not saying it's not, it depends on the song, but basically you're the timekeeper. You have to, you know, keep it fairly simple. Make sure you're keeping time. You're not rushing. You're not speeding. You're holding it down. You're pretty much the drummer.
Yeah. Which kind of brings to a point we were talking about, Marty and I, before this started, is that there are times, it's kind of a who follows who thing, that I'll just go from our approach. Sometimes when we go play a song in worship, I'll kind of be the lead with my bass drum, and Marty will try to follow off that bass drum feel. There are times, though, that if it's a busy drum song, it's a lot of tom stuff because of the way the song's written, or maybe I just don't know the song as well as Marty does. He's got the feel. Then I want to follow him, okay? But the point to that is, if I'm playing a busier drum song, the bass player needs to keep that boom, 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 or something steady, even if it's just the eighth note, dong, 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 while I'm going doom, 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 whatever. Because if he starts to go boom, whip, boom, whip, boom, boom, and we're doubling each other, there's nothing there to keep that thing going. Yeah, we will. Yeah. You want to do it now? Okay. You want to try that? What's that? I don't know how to play, but I just speak. No. I'm going to do a busy... I'll do like a tom thing. Okay? And then Marty's going to keep a simple bass line going. To kind of...
Well, there... Yeah.
Or a steady bass.
There's different things you can do in this situation, but go ahead.
Okay. And I'm going to use these glass sticks. I don't know what the volume's going to be like here, but I'm going to...
Right,
I kept.
Right,
right.
You know,
right, and
he's able to dance around that because you're locked
I'm
in.
I'm keeping that straight forward.
Now, take that out of there.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Do it again.
Example would be, okay, now Marty do a busy bass line.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, that's true, he doesn't. And the main thing is that downbeat, especially as a drummer, knowing where one is. Okay, even if you play the 6-8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 4, 5, 6. You know, you gotta have that. 4, 5, 6, 3, 4, 5.
So just play a basic rock beat, and I'll show you there's different ways to approach it as a bass player. How many guys are over 5 years experience here? I hope we're not boring you here, but.
Right. Just a basic boom attack.
Just a basic boom attack. Oh, this is an idea. A lot of people say bass follow the kick every single note. So just do and I'll show you what that sounds like, okay? Just do like that.
Right.
If it's more easy for you to do that and to lock in, that don't have to do exactly what the kick is doing every single time.
As long as they complement each other. I mean, vice versa. I don't want to start going every time he hits a syncopate. I don't hit with him. I mean, now it works sometimes. Sometimes that works. I mean, sometimes it, you know, it's really cool to have that type
more,
of thing.
More, you know,
I'm straight 4/4.
Shout to the Lord. Everybody knows that one, right? Shout to the Lord. That kind of starts off and builds. And if you listen to that, you can see how it builds. The chorus gets bigger, and then you bring it down in the verse. Most songs, probably 99.16 songs are going to be up, where the verse is a little bit softer, the chorus gets a little bit bigger, back down the verse. Maybe you have a bridge that is real open and airy. And then you get back to the chorus where it gets big again. And there's different ways of approaching it on drum where you're just doing this and maybe you go to the right on the chorus.
Right.
And you play a little bit louder. Same thing with the bass. I could be doing, you know, some basic notes and then just, I could go to 16th notes on the chorus. It adds a little bit more intensity and build.
Another thing, like, too, because Marty's talking about how a song kind of has that dynamic intro, of course. As a drummer, a good thing to keep in mind, since we're always seem to be up against the volume, most of us, is when you play a verse or an intro, you've got to be sensitive to the dynamics because you may be playing your verse or intro at your max volume that they want you to anyway. You know what I mean? So you really got nowhere to go, no 11, right?
Yeah, you can't go anywhere. Huh?
There's no 11, right?
No 11,
exactly, right? So you want to, you know, you want to give yourself that dynamic ability to be able to bring a chorus in or some part in and then to suck it down. You know, a lot of times the songs will suck down where it's just the congregation singing. That's the best part of the song for me. One, I'm not playing. I'm off the hook. And two, I get to just hear the congregation sing. I don't, you know, it's in. And then as a drummer, everybody, bass player, different technique, you know, you can do a lot of cymbally stuff. You know, I mean, when I say a lot, I mean, you know, minimally, but you know, it's nice to, you know, just build and be able to build. And then a lot when you're playing with Holland is watching him. I get to watch his heel and his elbow. That's my cue. And he starts banging his heel, right? And that means bringing it up, you know. And when he hits his elbow, that's kind of like bringing it down, you know. So you kind of start to learn the language of your worship team, you know, and kind of what's going on. And although a drummer, there's a lot of drummer jokes, you know, and stuff like that, which some are merited, but you do have a really important job. I mean, we all do, the bass player. I mean, like Marty said, we're kind of a frame. If the picture doesn't have a frame, it'll fall off the wall unless it's, you know, catch some other way, obviously. But, you know, as a drummer, you know, it's you got a lot of responsibility. It's hard to hide from mistakes. I mean, I know, you know, we don't have the struggles. Drummers don't have the struggles of chord changes and, like you said, ending on a B or ending on something. Luckily, we don't have to deal with chord changes, but we have a lot to do with time and dynamics. And when we make a mistake, to me, it stands out like a sore thumb because I hear drums. I mean, I make a mistake, I'm my worst critic. I'm like, oh, and I got to shake it off. You know, like a relief pitcher who blew a game. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I just did that, you know? And now I'm sitting there afterwards, just
such an idiot.
Yeah, what am I doing, you know? Right in front of everybody, I blew it. And we had an Easter here a few years ago. I got to say it because it was just funny. It took me 3 starts. You play that there. 3 starts to get the song off. I mean, Holland had 1, 2, 3, 4. We came in and it was wrong. It was, I thought we were doing a different song, and then he had a delay on his guitar, so when he counted in, it was chaka, 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 instead of cat, 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 right? So everything was, and it took 3 times, and I was just like, this is Easter. We had, I think, who was here?
8,000 people.
We had Dennis Akinjani here, I think, and we had like a bunch of people, and it was just like, it was on the internet, and it's like 3 starts, you know, and everybody looked at me. And Holly goes, what are you doing? And it's like, I don't know, you know? It was all me, you know? I think it was Marty, actually, but it was me, but I got blamed, you know? But that's what I'm saying.
I was following that day, though.
Yeah.
He was, I know the song.
I was, yeah. So as a drummer, though, that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, when they count 1, 2, 3, 4, and you got to come in, you've got to know that tempo. You've got to know how that song goes, you know, in those instances where the song starts right away, you know? And maybe some of the other guys can kind of slowly get into it and feel how it goes, right? But then sometimes I have the luxury, too, where they start, and I get to just kind of let it sit, or I get to just do one of these and kind of feel how it's going and like, kind of listen to how the groove's going, and then, okay, I'll come in, you know? Then I come in on a chorus or something. So, but it's the rhythm section really is the glue. It's really a thing. One thing I want to say is... the best rhythm sections to me are the ones that are unnoticed. Now, I know, like, if you listen to, like, funk and some really cool stuff, I mean, there's some really cool stuff going on. But I'm talking in worship.
Yeah, and even if there's a funk worship song, I mean, it's great.
Right.
You know, there is a lot of that. There's a lot of, you know, more steps add up. But overall, general speaking, right?
Yeah, overall, general speaking, if the rhythm section kind of goes unnoticed, then you did your job. Because I think you're more noticed when you're either rushing or blowing it, or you know what I mean? You're losing the groove.
And there are times, though, when it calls for some, you know, drums to do some stuff or bass. There are songs
sure.
that call for that. But majority of the time, you know, we're just basically, you know, keeping the time together.
Right. Yeah.
But you can add a lot by being simple.
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, just being simple is wonderful, and just a basic slide.
Totally.
If you're just doing a basic beat throughout the whole song, it's a real simple thing. You throw in one cool lick, and wow, it's a good beat.
And it stuck out.
Yeah. But if you're doing 15 licks, they're gonna go, that's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we have at our church, we have several drums. We have 3 drums. We have 3 basses. I have the pleasure of being able to play with my wife. We are designated Wednesday night people. And it's really
the dreaded Wednesday night people.
Well, I alternate on Sunday.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, Sandy and I, we get the opportunity occasionally to play on Sunday to get
to do
when she's alternating on Sunday on vacation and whatnot. But I mean, yeah, we got some guys that really put their skill out front,
yeah.
And when all it needs is like maybe just like that open whole note beat, boom, just let it fan out instead of. You know,
you can definitely each one's technique, and I think a lot of people, even myself, I feel inadequate.
I feel inadequate myself every day. I come here and say, Lord, I just help me get through this. Yes. I really do. I don't go up there and go out.
Right.
I'm going, I hope I do a good job today.
Right.
I hope I don't make any mistakes. I hope I don't overplay. I hope I fit in right. You know, I hope people worship. I mean, I'm not lying. I come all the time, and we'll go in the back of the green room, and I'm like, oh, gosh, sorry, guys.
I do the same thing, and I try to get away from that because the worship leader, our worship leader is great. He is just a patient, wonderful, instructive, just nurturing worship leader.
That's great.
And when we're done, yeah, we'll go into the green room, and he says, "Hey, good worship, you guys." And my first comment back is like something negative.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's like, man, I should be saying, "Hey, thank you, David."
That's me. But the redeeming thing of it is, though, is sometimes even my worst days, which are often, people will come up and go, "Man, worship was awesome." And I'm thinking, "Are you serious?"
The Holy Spirit has a thing.
Exactly. You know, and you know, I am my worst critic. Probably Marty is his own worst critic. We probably all are our own worst critics. Yeah. You know, and
I think it's good though because it doesn't. I mean, you can beat yourself up and go overboard with that, but sure. It also maybe sheds some light on maybe some weaknesses and things that you might need to work on.
Sure, and that's what I was talking about. You know, like if maybe a song that has a different feel or a different thing that I'm not really great at, you know, and I kind of get schooled on it, and then I usually will go home and go, man, I need to brush up on this type of feel because I just, you know, I haven't done this in a while or I haven't done it at all, and I, you know. But as long as you... kind of back to what you were saying a while, but the point is you just want to be able to continue to grow and expand as a player, you know, it, not being a hot shot, just being able to do the best you can for the Lord, for yourself, and, you know, really, the congregation, you know, 90% of the people really don't know music sometimes out there, you know, they're kind of, they're just feeling the whole package, the whole worship. You know, so they're not listening to some guy's lick, or even if you blow it, they probably didn't even hear the bad note. You know what I mean? Or if they did, it wasn't even significant to them. You know, because if you're in true worship, I don't even know if that would even pick up. You know what I mean?
The only people that would pick it up are probably just other musicians in the body.
Sure.
Yeah, and Rich makes a good point. I was in this band after DA that got signed to some secular label and never did anything. But the label brought in a guy who was coaching us on our stage, you know, presence and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Funny thing is, this is a side antidote, but there's a, not antidote, but a side thing. His wife was a girl that I knew from Calgary in San Diego, by the way. She showed up, oh my gosh. So, but anyway, this guy was talking about the thing that Rich mentioned about a drummer doing all kinds of stuff, or a bass player doing a bunch of stuff. 2,000 people come to see a band. How many drummers are in the 2,000 people? 4, 6, 2, how many? You think there's more than 10? I don't think there are. Maybe there are people that like drums that appreciate it, but you're, as a bass player, I'm not going to be playing to 5 or 6 bass players. I'm playing to 2,000. So therefore, if I do, you know, and that's what the song calls for, that's maybe dorky and humbling, but it's exactly what the song calls for. The whole song sounds great, everybody stands up, you know, instead of doing a, you know, I got, a flight of fifth ninth scale or whatever. And four people appreciate it, and everybody else is gone. What the heck was that? and I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, you're not playing to the three drummers or the three bass players that are in the congregation. You're playing to the 50 people or the 500 or the 1,000, however big your church is. That's who you're playing to. And what you're doing is you're trying to set a tone for worship. That's basically it. And there's a lot of technique, a lot of different things that you need to know to make it work and make it go smooth. I think as a bass player or a drummer, probably one of the best ways to learn how to play to do well, put on a CD and play along with it. Just listen exactly what they're doing and try to figure out what they're doing. For bass, what key are they in? Can you pick out the notes? How fast can you pick them out? play to it. You know, spend a couple hours trying to figure out one song to take along and play along, and you'll learn things. Another thing is a metronome.
Yeah.
Turn on a metronome and don't just go. Do a little time.
I'm tired already.
Build up the strength of your channel. My very first record, there was a song that we did that I couldn't play it that fast. I couldn't play it fast enough, so they had to slow the tape down, and I was able to play it. You know, I play it now, but then I was, you know, 4 years, 5 years into playing, my hand got locked up. So, practicing your own with a metronome, do something challenging out, you know.
Yeah. And I'm glad Marty brought it up. I had it in my notes. I mean, drummers, obviously, your job is to keep time. Metronome can be really boring and tedious, but it is something.
That's what people look for.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and this is reality. I've heard people say, you know, I play the drums, and people say, I'm rushing. Or I'm slowing down. But I'm not. But if multiple people are telling you that, you probably are. You know? You probably are. And some churches may not have the advantage of that. But if you really want to test yourself, it's tape the service. You know, we have the internet, man. I go back and relive everything. Oh. I mean, visually, too. Oh, I dropped a stick. Oh. You know, it's all there. It's like, you know, but I have the, I'll listen back and I'll go, you know what, man, I rushed that song. I mean, no one said it, but I felt it. It started out like it had a good thing going, and I took off. So one thing I want to mention really quick for drummers is, besides playing with a metronome, it's something I call, it's my own little thing, it's a high percentage drum fill. Marty talked about doing maybe a boring bass line. Boom, boom, boom. For me, let's say I'm doing a beat. It's just the basic, right? And then I try to do a fill that's, you know? Sometimes then you come back in and you're faster. I see a lot of drummers lose time. I overemphasize that, but a lot of drummers lose the tempo. Or they do a fill that they can't really pull off well, so it kind of messes up and then they hit it back in, which I do all the time, I'm going to tell you. So high percentage fill, boring, but. You know, anything that. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be even that basic, but something that's going to bring you back in time. You know, I mean, go home and work on your chops. You know what I mean? And I mean, when I'm playing at home to something, I'll take chances because there ain't nobody else there. You know what I mean? And I'll work on that, and I'll triple it.
Don't want to experiment, you know, during the worship service.
Exactly. And like I said, I mean, who's really gonna care honestly whether I go, you know, or I go? And most time, that's actually probably more appreciated by people than. Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you talk about use of cymbals?
Uh-huh.
You hit on that just briefly earlier. Let me give you an example of what I'm asking.
Sure.
I find that I get a couple of drummers that they know a couple of stock beats.
Uh-huh.
That's what they know.
Right.
So we're doing a song, you know, and you count it off, and it's great, but maybe there's a song, Lion Shout of the Lord, that I want to start really tenderly.
Uh-huh.
All I want is I want some mallets on cymbals. I want some more percussive type stuff.
Exactly.
I don't want boom boom da da doo doo da da doo doo. You know.
Exactly.
You know, from the top of the song. Can you elaborate on a little bit?
Well, obviously, there's a little bit of experience involved in that. Obviously, communication, right? I mean, you've got to make it clear to the drummer or whoever, kind of what you're feeling, because. I mean, obviously, if you don't communicate or they don't understand what you're feeling or what you're saying, they're not going to play it right. But then experience kicks in. I mean, I like to use these sticks. It's a mallet and a stick all in one, okay? So I can do kind of really cool swells, And then I can actually, you know, come into a beat with it, you know. Of course, blast sticks, things like that. I don't really know a definitive answer other than just maybe, like I said, communication and maybe taping it and playing it back, saying, see how it's kind of bashy here or it's kind of big here, you know. And that's something that kind of what I talked about early on is there's a point where we all want to serve, and hopefully we're all striving to learn our instruments. But let's face it, there's different levels of abilities right now, you know. And I think that's just a struggle you get in worship. I couldn't be a worship leader because, one, I'm not talented enough, but I would find it so hard to tell somebody, just not ready for this yet. You know what I mean? Because it's like, gosh, people want to give. I know I'm kind of rehashing what I talked about, but people want to give a service. But if I want to cook and all I can make is macaroni and cheese, it ain't going to work. You know what I mean? And I don't really know if I'm answering your question here, but there's something to be said with the experience. And it's not necessarily even coming from a drum instructor. It's from playing. I took lessons for years. But the most I've learned is playing with other people. There's a valuable lesson to experience. I mean, you talk about, like, all analogy, do the sports analogy thing, but they'll talk about an experienced team. You know, this is a team that's been in the playoffs before. So when playoff time comes, they know how to handle it, pressure. They know how to handle how it works. You can have raw talent, whatever that talent is, but it's that experience to hear what the other musicians are doing, when to lay back, when to feel it, you know?
Another good analogy with sports, and we only have like 5 more minutes here, but I think everybody knows who Kobe Bryant is.
Yeah.
If you're basketball players, remember Kobe when he first started, he was pretty much a hot shot, right? He's like, you know, showboating and doing all kinds of, wants everybody to know how good he is. But nobody really appreciated him until, I think this last year, he's kind of started to settle down and he's been more of a team player. And he's gotten more simple, but yet still hitting the shots when he needs to, pulling off his game the way he needs to. He's not doing triple spins, slam dunk through his legs and all this stuff. And occasionally he does, yeah, but he dishes off more. Now he wants to win. He wants his team to win. As musicians, we want the song to be successful. We want people to worship. So we're not, and a lot of young players, and I did this myself too, you go jam somewhere and you just, look at me, everybody. Who cares about the song? But like I said, if you listen to records, go pick out a bunch of your records and put them on. Listen to your favorite records and analyze the bass or the drums and look at the simple beats, the simple bass parts that they're doing.
I find enjoying the notes that you're actually not playing as much as the notes that you're hitting, the space.
The air,
that's
yeah.
A sound in itself.
The space does create some tension and some dynamics and release.
Chair cycle.
Yeah, it's nice. So you don't always have to be playing that.
I think you nailed it, though. When he was asking about the simple stuff, that's all in different techniques that, you know, it comes from the experience you're talking about.
Right.
You know, again, a lot of it, that is doing the simple thing.
Right.
But it's techniques that the drummers use that you want to learn through experience. And
right.
The drummer's just not smooth at it yet. You can tell him to do it, but it's the experience that's going to bring the technique.
Yeah.
What's going to help that is listening to records and CDs. You know, put them on at home, headphones, and playing. If you don't have opportunities to play with a lot of different people, then put some headphones on, play along with some songs.
Totally.
Anything else? We got about it, I guess.
Yeah, we're doing another class next. Who's? It's kind of set up to be the same class, but I don't know if we got the bulk of the drummers and bass players in this conference here. I don't know. Is most of you guys scheduled to go somewhere else? Do you have like other places you're going? Or I guess why I'm saying that is depending on how many people show up for the next class, we can even indulge more on this stuff, maybe even interact and play more. You know what I mean? Even if someone else wants to come up and play too with a bass player. And work on something. But again, I don't know what the next class is going to entail. It could be one or two people showing up because most people came to this one, or, you know, it could be kind of a part two. So
Also, if you want to come back after the second class, we'll be hanging around a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't get to show a drum tuning technique, and basically to some of you it could be really elementary, or I don't need that.
But why don't you do that after the second class?
Yeah.
Have plenty of time here.
But if anybody wants to come back, I mean, you know, I'll at least show you a quick deal that can maybe get your drums at least close. You know, and again, for some of you, maybe that's not an issue at all. So, real quick, I think Chuck asked this in the other class, but does anybody play electronic drums in here? Okay. You guys like them? They're working good?
Yeah, just, it gives you a lot of control.
Yeah.
We have a small church. And
right.
Right. Too much.
My preference is acoustic, but if you're up against the wall on volume, I think the electronics is a way to go. Because for me, part of playing, not to ramble on you, but it's like I don't have a volume knob, okay? My attack has to change for volume. And I can use different sticks, and we talked about with glass sticks and brushes, you know. But there's a certain feel that I get, you know. And I'm not saying I'm going to be stubborn, I'm going to bash if I'm not supposed to. But sometimes the electronic drums can give you that luxury of your same attack
right.
with a volume knob, you know. So you're not, you know, blasting people out. And then tuning-wise, you know, it's, don't even have to deal with that one, you know. You know, obviously... I think there's, I'm seeing, I could be wrong, but more and more churches are incorporating drums. And I think, and hopefully, you know, a class like this isn't necessarily designed, you know, at least from my perspective, is, hey, I'm some hotshot drummer, I'm going to tell you guys stuff. It's more of kind of a forum or kind of talk about situations, because drums can be a really, drums and bass can be a rhythm section, can be a really cool thing in worship, but it has to be done right, you know? And there's a lot of elements that have to be there, not only the drummer and the bass player, but like I talked about earlier, kind of being able to hear each other, a monitor, you know, or you know, avionics or something to be able to interact. And if, you know, but it, sometimes it's like, you know, I don't want anybody but the bass player on my monitor. Or I don't want anybody but the worship leader. That's all I want to hear. Just give me the worship leader. I don't care what the keyboard player is doing. I don't care what the percussion player is doing. That's a risky thing unless you really know each other. Because
oh, yeah, and if the keyboard player is doing a bunch of licks on every hole, then you need to know that, so you're not
playing.
Yeah, that's
right.
A mess.
Right.
A train wreck.
I got a question on that. Can that affect, let's say, you know, he's the bass player, right? I'm the drummer.
Right.
If we're in the same amp, can that interfere with one another in
the
terms
same
of
amplifier?
The sound? Yeah, I'm sorry?
The same what?
Amplifier.
The same speaker.
No, it's not going to interfere.
No, I don't think so.
I think, you know, we're pretty much, that's it for the class, 11 o'clock. If you,
yeah.
We can hang out if